So y'all, we're going to continue in our sermon series, Sweet Like Honey. We talk about the promises of God. Psalm 119:103 says, "How sweet your words taste to me, they are sweeter than honey." And so our focus in this series, y'all, it's on the very promises of God. So how long have you been saved? Maybe a short period of time? Long period of time? It's one thing that we have to remember and know, that God keeps his promises. Yeah, that's right. God keeps his promises. I'm a living testimony. There's been times in my life when all I had was all I needed, but it was the promise of God. That my hope was in what God said, what God spoke into my life as I waited for him to bring it to pass. It was the promise of God. What we have right here, right now, today, as we sit at 1111 Tally Road, it's a promise fulfilled. We walk by faith and not by sight, but we walk according to the promises of God. What God speaks and what we hear, we have to believe that God will do it. He'll bring it to pass. God keeps his promises. Jeff, there's been some people in life that will make you promises, but they don't keep their promises. If we were honest with ourselves that we made promises to God, y'all, but we didn't keep our promise. If you don't leave with anything else today, I need you to know this without a doubt, that God keeps his promises. So we talk about the subject of honey. Honey is, it's a sweet thing. We know that it's one of the sweetest things that we could ever taste. When something is sweet and tasteful, we have this tendency to go back to it. And so I don't know what your sweet thing is. Maybe it's a Hershey's chocolate bar, or, you know, it's the Almond Joy or the Milky Way. I don't know but when things are sweet, we want it. We want to go back to it. The word of God is sweet, y'all. The promises of God are sweet. God is trustworthy and God is true. God will keep his promise. He wants to go back to his word time and time and time again to read his word, to study his word, to meditate on his word, and to learn God's promises to us. So if you remember last week, y'all, we went to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 29. We talked about the promise of rest. That in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus gives the promise of his rest. And that the rest that he really talks about, y'all, it's an eternal rest. It's a divine rest. It's not like the rest that we try to find here on earth. Like, listen, we try to find our woosah and our comfort in other people, but other people will let us down. That sometimes we try to find rest in a bottle. We'll find temporary rest, y'all, on a doctor's couch, y'all, and you know we try to find rest in all sorts of places in this world. But the kind of rest that Jesus is talking about can relieve us of our burdens right now and today, and our burdens on tomorrow. He promises to give us his rest. As we live in the world in which we live, we need his rest. So this week, y'all, we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 9 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. Thank you so much for standing as we read God's word this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. Again, it's good to see everybody in the house. We got Dr. Melissa Wister in the house, and she got the babies. I'm always just, I don't know, I'm just giddy when I see them. When I came to know Melissa, they weren't even in the world, and so you get old. No, we're maturing. We're growing in God's grace. But man, you all are growing up and so beautiful and so handsome. And pray God just would do wonderful things in your lives. Where's Miles? Did he? Okay, Miles had to slip out. That's Miles. Yes, that's Miles. But Miles coming back. Miles coming. Let's get to God's word. 2 Corinthians, y'all, chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. It reads thus. My grace is all, he said, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And encourage our hearts, the promise for this week, the promise of grace. The promise of grace. You may be seated in God's presence. The promise of grace. God's unmerited favor. That God gives us what we don't even deserve. He turns around and he shows us mercy. That God doesn't do to us what he ought to do to us, but he gives us his grace, his unmerited favor. One thing we learn about life, it teaches us really quickly, y'all, that there's some problems that come our way that money simply cannot solve. There's some illnesses, some maladies, y'all, some diseases that medicine cannot heal. There's some burdens that we carry, y'all, that get too hard. It's hard to carry some heavy loads, y'all. And even our friends can't help us carry that load. It gets too heavy. I think we got some witnesses in the house today that you've been through some dark times in your life, some dark moments in your life, and you couldn't even sleep at night. Sleep and rest would not even come to you. And so what do? We often ask, Lord, take it away. Lord, take away the trauma, take away the anxiety, take away the strain, take away the pain. And I'm glad there are times when God will simply take it away. He will erase it. But I found out something. There are times when God will say, I'm not going to take it away. I won't remove it. But what I will do is I'll sustain you. When God sustains us, that's the very promise of God's grace in our life, his unmerited favor. So, in the book of 2 Corinthians, I think this is perhaps one of Paul's most personal of all letters. You look at the book of Romans, it explains the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do we get to salvation? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but God sent his son into the world to die for us. Romans, it talks about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. When we look at the book of Ephesians, y'all, it celebrates the church. Go to the book of Ephesians, start at Ephesians chapter 1. It tells us who we are in Christ, that we are accepted in the beloved, that we are somebody in Jesus. We are the church of Jesus Christ. But it's here in 2 Corinthians that Paul begins to open up his heart. There are false apostles that have invaded the church. And so they begin to question Paul's authority. Who do you think you are, Mr. Big Stuff? So they expected Paul to be this successful person in worldly ways. So he's going to have good etiquette and a whole bunch of $20 words, and he's going to be successful and impressive and powerful. But instead, Paul comes in humility. He comes in weakness. You read 2 Corinthians. You find that Paul was beaten, that he was imprisoned, that he was shipwrecked, he was rejected, and all of this stuff for the sake of doing what? For preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What would you endure for the gospel of Jesus Christ? What hardships would you bear? What inconveniences would you go through for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Not that he's asking you to do it in this moment, but if he asked you, would you leave that comfortable place? And would you get up from where you are? And would you spend your life in a whole other vocation? And would you go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you do it? Or would you offer God excuses? It's a question that all of us have to ask ourselves. How far would we go in our service to Jesus Christ, in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people? So this passage that we're looking at today, y'all, it follows Paul's vision of paradise. Look at the verses before. Paul said, listen, he was caught up in the third heavens. He was caught up in the place where God was. And God showed him wonderful visions, wonderful things, things too marvelous that human understanding could not even grasp it, that human lips could not even speak it. And so Paul could have got this big head and listen, God allowed me to go up into the heavens and to see what I saw. Yeah, nobody saw what I get to see. You see, Paul could have came down deep, y'all. Yeah, that's the deep stuff, y'all. He could have came deep, but he didn't do that. And Paul humbled himself. And Paul goes on to say in these verses that God gave him a thorn in the flesh. He says, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. The reality is we don't know what his thorn in the flesh was. Perhaps it was one of those false apostles in the church that especially got on his nerves. And so, but he had to come humble and low when he probably wanted to say something. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe he had some malady, some sickness in his body. Some theologians say he had some type of an eye disease. We don't know what the thorn was, but do we really need to know? Because reality is all of us at some point will deal with a thorn in our flesh. I don't know what your thorn is or was. You don't know what mine is. But all of us at some point will deal with a thorn in our flesh. But the thorns come all for the same purpose, y'all. They come to bring us down, to make us low, y'all. Not to be boastful, not to be proud. Because let's face real human beings in the way we are. Listen, when you preach a real good sermon and you know and people shout, you can get the big head. Lord Joyce, when you get up and you sing that song the way you sing it, and you come strong. And people get to crying and then all of that. Y'all, listen, we can get real proud. But when we understand it's nobody but God. Nobody but God that saved us and kept us. It stops us from being proud. But also God will allow a thorn in your something to remind you that it's not about you. That you are not all of that in a bag of chips. That all of us are simply vessels that are being used by God. No big eyes and no little use. All of us are being used by God. So the thorns all work the same way to keep us humble. To stop us from becoming boastful, y'all. And to experience God's grace in our lives. A grace that will allow us to serve him. So God doesn't always remove the struggle, beloved. I wish I could tell you that he does. He doesn't always remove the struggle. But he always supplies the grace that we need to endure the struggle. And so know this. So the greatest promise God gives his children is not a life without pain, but grace that is sufficient for every pain that you have. God's grace is sufficient for every pain, every struggle, every issue that you'll ever deal with in your life. Grace echoes throughout the Bible, throughout Holy Writ, throughout Scripture. We look in the Old Testament, the life and the story of Noah. The Bible says that Noah found grace in God's eyes. That God gave him his grace, his unmerited favor to help build that big old boat, that ark, y'all, and sail on the waters. That Moses found grace to face his Pharaoh, his enemy. That David found grace after his failure, y'all. And some of us can testify to that God still gives his grace even when we fail God. Even when we don't fulfill our promises to him, God keeps his grace. That Peter found grace after denying Jesus. I love John in John's gospel. John saw grace become flesh in Jesus Christ. John says in his gospel, from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Grace, y'all, has always been God's answer to human weaknesses. Yes, yes. So let's go to the text for a minute. To see how we can experience the effectual working of God's grace in our lives on a daily basis. God's grace is operating in your life and in my life on a daily basis. So the first thing I want us to see is that God's grace is enough. Real simple. God's grace is enough. If I could go on, God's grace is more than, God's grace is everything that you and I need. He says, my grace is all you need. You notice in the story that in the text, Paul begged three times for this thorn to be removed from his flesh, for it to be taken away. Three times. Three times that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane for the cup to be taken away. Three times he prayed, but it was not taken away. Now understand, there's nothing wrong with pleading. There's nothing wrong with praying to God. There's nothing wrong with asking God. Faith prays and pleads to God. But mature faith always learns to trust God's answer, no matter what it might be. Listen, sometimes God says, yes, I'll remove it. Sometimes, yes, I'll do what you want me to do. Sometimes he says, no. Can you accept the no of God? Because every time he may give you a no, he's still going to always give you his grace. That God's grace is always enough for you and I. That his grace, his strength, y'all, his presence, y'all, his power, his provision, his grace. God always gives us his grace. Notice God never says, I'll give you enough strength. He says, I'll give you enough grace. Because his grace produces strength in us. And the reality is we don't have to look any further. Oh, we can simply accept the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God. You don't have to look other places. So how many of us, we've looked for grace. We've looked for strength. We've looked for help in other places, but we could not find help in other places. But God gave us his grace. Think about Moses in the Old Testament. Moses is at the Red Sea, y'all. That the sea is in front of him. The waters are out there. That Pharaoh and his army, they're behind him. That Israel is camped all around him. That he had no options. Moses and the children, they were out of options, y'all. But so God, he didn't remove the sea, but he supplied grace to walk through the sea on dry ground. Can I say it this way? That they walked through on grace. They walked through on the unmerited favor of God. God saw them through the Red Sea. God will see you through your struggle. God will see you through your problem. But you go through on God's grace, on his unmerited favor for you. Amen, somebody. When you got God's grace, y'all, you got everything you need. How many believe today you got God's grace in your life right now? Don't fool me now. You have the unmerited favor of God operating in your life. Even you have everything you need. I think about this. Have you ever purchased something, but then the rest of it came at an additional cost? What do you mean, preacher? You get a car, and you go up to buy that car. You look on the sticker on the car. It's got the baseline, the base price on the car, right? And then you got the other lines. I call them the buttons and the whistles. You know, it's got all the other stuff, the additives on the car. You got to pay for that. So you got to pay for the base price of the car. You got to pay for all of the buttons and whistles unless you get the top of the line. You know, you got everything in it. But you purchase this automobile, but there's an additional cost for the extra stuff. You take a trip on an airplane these days. And so there used to be a time, young people, believe you, when you bought a ticket for an airline ticket, it came with the seat. It came with the luggage and everything. It ain't like that no more, y'all. Okay, so you want to sit where now? Okay, that's going to cost you a little bit more. How many bags you want? You want how many? Two? Okay, that's going to cost you about $80. So there's an additional cost. So think about it this way, y'all. Think about when we get toys for our children at Christmas time and we read on that box, listen, you got the toy, but the batteries are not included. You got a toy that doesn't work. It has no power because it has no batteries. But y'all, listen, grace comes with everything, y'all. Grace comes with God's strength. It comes with his power. It comes with everything that we need. Grace is all-inclusive, y'all. I'm glad for the all-inclusive grace of God, that he gives me everything I need for every situation. That God gives us grace on a daily basis. God gives you grace for today. He'll give you grace for tomorrow. And so once we discover, y'all, that God's grace is enough, we begin to understand something even greater. God isn't merely helping us survive our weaknesses. He's revealing his power through it. Next point, that God's power is revealed through weakness. Let that sit for a minute. That God's power is revealed through weakness. My power works best in weakness. His power works best in your and my and our weaknesses. This is upside down thinking, didn't it, when you think about it? That God's strength, it becomes perfect when I'm weak, when I'm surrendered. That's not the world's way. The world celebrates strength, y'all. Be strong, be all of that. But God works through our weaknesses. The world says, hide your weaknesses. Don't let people see them. God says, show me your weakness and I'll show you my strength. I'll show you what I can do when you are weak, when you surrender, when you give up and you give in to me. God's power is revealed through our weakness. Weakness is not God's obstacle. Pride is. And oftentimes, y'all, we want to be strong. And we let pride stand in the way of what God wants to do in our lives. But we need to surrender to God, surrender to his grace, surrender to his unmerited favor in your life and my life, and watch what God can do. Brokenness creates room for divine power and strength in your life and my life. So we don't have to be strong on our own. And oftentimes we do that. We let pride get in the way. We don't want people to see us crying. We don't want people to see us struggling. We go behind closed doors, y'all. We cry. We don't want people to see the real us and what's really going on. But how about this? When you are weak and you feel frail, why don't you take it all and bring it to God and accept the grace that he wants to give you? He'll exchange it for his strength. He'll exchange it for his wisdom and for his power. He'll give you and me his grace. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Not yours, not mine, but his. Think about Gideon, y'all, in the Old Testament. God's power is revealed through weaknesses. That Gideon, y'all, we know he was a great judge, one of the judges of Israel, one of the 12. And so God calls him to lead the nation of Israel in going up against the Ites. It was the Amalekites and the Midianites and all of these enemies that would come up against them. That Gideon had an army, y'all, of 32,000 people. Y'all know the story well. God said, that's too much. After the story was done, he had 300 people, 300 men to battle with him in war. So why would God do that? Because victory would come through God. When the army became small, God became big. When the army was weak, God was strong. That's what the text is. When we are weak, God is strong and working through us. God's power is revealed through our weaknesses. Where are you weak? Don't be ashamed of it. Bring your weakness. Bring your frailty. Bring it to God and accept his grace. I told a story this morning. I went over to Sister Jackie. Sometimes we go to the grocery store, y'all. Sometimes I'll go with her. I've become quite the grocery shopper these days, y'all. Since COVID, I enjoy it, y'all. I don't know. I just enjoy grocery shopping, y'all. But sometimes she'll go to the grocery store, y'all. She'll come home with groceries in the car. She'll back in, and I go out to greet her because it's my job then. Because, shoot, you know, I got to do the Hercules. It's time for me to go get the bags out the car. She did the shopping. Let me pick up the bags out the car, y'all. And so, yeah. So sometimes I must admit, y'all. You know, I'll raise up the trunk and I'll get 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 bags, you know, because I'm strong. You know, I'm strong. And I'm showing my girl, I'm strong, y'all. And so, y'all, I'm shaking trying to get the bags in, but I'm strong, y'all. And sometimes, like, baby, let me help you out a little bit. That's what self-sufficiency does, doesn't it? That's what pride does. That we try to stand in our own strength and our own might. But that's when we discover in God's economy, when God is really strong. It begins when we surrender. It begins when we throw it all on him. It begins when we give it to him. God's power is revealed through our weaknesses. Stop trying to be so self-sufficient and give it to the Lord. We discover that God's strength begins where our self-sufficiency ends. God's power is revealed through our weaknesses. That God specializes in using ordinary people with extraordinary dependence. Can I ask you this morning, are you really depending on God? For real, not your bank account that can dry up. Are you really depending upon God? Your titles that can be taken away. Are you depending upon your health and your strength that can be taken away? That life is here today, but it can be gone today. What do you really depend upon? Do you depend upon you, or do you depend upon the real grace of God? God specializes in using ordinary people with extraordinary dependence. If you feel inadequate, listen, you're in a good camp. You're in a good place. You're a perfect candidate for God's power, a perfect candidate for God's grace, his unmerited favor. So Paul came to know that God's grace was enough, that God's power works through our weaknesses. And then he reaches this surprising conclusion, y'all, and I'm almost done, and it's 11:30. That God's grace changes our perspective. So Paul says this. I'm glad to boast, y'all. I can boast about this. My weaknesses, so the power of Christ can work through me. He said, I take pleasure in it. Look at the sex. I take pleasure in my weaknesses, in insults. When was the last time somebody insulted you and you took pleasure in it? You probably partook in it. You went back. Who you think you're talking to? In hardships, persecution, troubles. And Paul said, I suffer all of this. I suffer it for the cause of Christ. I think it's important to notice those words in the text. It's for the cause of Christ. Because some of the suffering that we're going through, it ain't for the cause of Christ. We suffer some stuff because of us. It ain't for the cause of Christ. It's us, y'all. Some of the hardships and stuff we go through, some of the problems, it's not for Christ. It's us. But guess what? Guess what? He still gives us his grace. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. The Paul's perspective changes. Now, Paul's not celebrating suffering, y'all. No, nobody does. We don't jump for joy, y'all, when we're going through it, when we're going through trials. And so we don't get all happy about that. Paul is celebrating what God produces through suffering. Yeah. Can we celebrate what God is doing in us, even in the midst of our suffering? Can we allow our suffering to make us more Christ-like, to look more like Jesus? Can we celebrate not the fact of what we're dealing with, but the fact that we know that God is on our side, that he's given us his grace and his unmerited favor? Yes, yes. Grace changes how we interpret our struggles. Yes. Instead of looking at stuff and going, yeah, wowsy, woe is me, y'all. You know, why did this have to happen to me? Well, would you rather that it happen to somebody else? Why am I going through what I'm going through? But those are the questions that we ask. But how about asking this? What is God producing in me in the midst of my struggles? What is God working out through me that's not just for me, but it's for somebody else around me? Grace, y'all, it changes us from victims. It makes us victors. Grace changes how we interpret our struggles, our anxiety, our pain, and our issues. In the book of Genesis, y'all, we know this story well, that Joseph was betrayed. He was betrayed by his brothers. Y'all, he was thrown into a pit. Went into Potiphar's house, y'all. Went into prison. Oh, we know his story well. But what we love about his story is in Genesis 50, where he says to his brothers, listen, dad is dead now. His brothers thinking he's gonna probably kill them too because it was their fault. But what does he say in the text? Y'all know the story well. He said, what you intended for harm, you tried to harm me, but God intended it for good. Yeah. That Joseph had another perspective, y'all. That's the perspective, the mindset we in our struggles, y'all, that whatever we go through, that God has given us his grace, his unmerited favor to make it through it. So no more wowsy, woo-woo, why me? But God, just show me. What do you want me to see in this struggle so I can come out of it stronger and give you a testimony of your goodness, of your grace and your mercy towards me, oh God, and help somebody else in their issues in life? Yeah. Grace rewrote the story. Will you allow grace to rewrite your story? Yes. It's not what you wanted. You asked God for something else, but God hadn't given it to you yet. But can he rewrite your story? Can he show you something different? That I'm still with you. I'm still supplying your every need. That I've never left you nor forsaken you. That I'll do exactly what I said I will do in your life. And can that not be enough? Yeah. Yeah. God's grace changes our perspective. A whole lot of us, y'all, we look back over the difficult seasons in our lives, y'all, and we think about those times when we wanted God to take something out of our life. God, remove it. God, take it away. That, y'all, we rebuke some stuff in our lives. I rebuke that. No, but maybe God is allowing, maybe God allowed that in your life. Maybe he allowed it in my life. The valleys that we resist, y'all, become the classroom where we learn to trust God the most. Some of your greatest ministry will come from your deepest wounds, some of your deepest pain, some of your deepest hurts. The place that hurts you most becomes the place where God can use you and me the most. When God won't take it away, but he'll give us his grace. He will give us his favor. Well, you didn't get the job. Well, that's okay. You still got his grace. You didn't get the house. Well, that's okay. You still got his grace. It didn't work out the way you. You still got his grace. I wanted the doctors to say something else, but they said the wrong. But he still got his grace. And God is seeing you through it. Paul began praying for, pleading for release, but he ended up praising God for his grace because he discovered something greater, y'all. It was greater than healing. It was the presence of Jesus in his life. It was the presence of God's grace in his life. The miracle, y'all, the miracle wasn't really about the thorn, y'all. We focus on the wrong thing in the text. The miracle was that God's grace did not leave him. God's grace remained. I hope we got some people out. You're glad about that today. Out of all the seasons you've been through in your life, God's grace has always remained. God's grace has never left you. You know, every day we travel, y'all, across these big old, these huge overpasses in San Antonio. Y'all know which ones I'm talking about. They just finished a bunch of them up there on I-10. You know, them things way up in there. They're way up there in the sky, y'all. You know, those ones where you're holding your breath. Lord, let me make it across this thing. Just, Lord, let me get down to the other side of this thing. Yeah. So some of y'all laugh, and I'm for real. Let me make it down. One's on 410. Y'all think thousands of people cross these things every day. But nobody stops y'all to admire the bolts underneath the thing that's holding it up. Nobody gets that. Well, let me praise God for this thick concrete up here. But here's the thing. But when the weight, y'all, comes, the weight of your automobile and thousands of other automobiles cross it, when all of y'all on that bridge together, that it upholds you. And we don't even think about that. But that's how God's grace operates, y'all, in our lives. That at any given time, God is upholding you with the power of his grace. That God's unmerited favor is keeping you and sustaining you in every situation in your life. We don't think about that in days of ease, y'all. But when life gets heavy, when our tears begin to fall, when the doctor's report is not good, when the marriage is struggling, when grief settles y'all in the house, when loneliness whispers in our ears to tell us that we're alone, God's grace creeps in and says, you're never alone. I promise never to leave you nor forsake you. That grace will quietly uphold you. Church, I need you to hear the promise of God's grace. When you don't have enough, his grace is enough. When your strength runs out, his grace is enough. When your faith feels small, his grace is enough. When the burden seems too heavy, his grace is enough. His grace will sustain you and uphold you. He will uphold you with his right hand of righteousness, his hand of grace. So hold on to the grace of God, because his grace is enough. You can keep on walking. You can keep on lifting up your hands and keep on praising God. You can keep on trusting. You can keep on serving. You can keep on praising, y'all. Because what God spoke to Paul, he speaks to us today. My grace is all that you need. And the church can declare with confidence, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Because I believe in and hold on to the promise of his grace. The church said, amen. Hallelujah. Listen, beloved, there will come times in your life when all you have is a promise. And oftentimes that promise is connected to all the time to the grace of God. Because grace says it's unmerited, it's something undeserved, that none of us deserve it. But God in his goodness and his love for us, he gives us his grace. So when you're in those situations in your life, remember and hold on to the grace of God. I want to give you a few takeaways, y'all, and we're going to be out of here. We're going to have our church meeting in just a few minutes. First takeaway, God's grace is always sufficient. It's always enough. Even when our prayers seem like they're going unanswered or life is difficult, that things happen different than you prayed for. You ever been there before? I prayed for this, but I got this. Wait a minute. Maybe it's God whispering and saying, listen, I'm not going to change it, but I'm going to give you my grace. Takeaway two, weakness is not a liability in God's kingdom. It is often the place where his power is most clearly displayed. In our weaknesses, in our frailty, in our smallness, in our littleness, God will reveal his grace, his unmerited favor. Three, God's grace transforms our perspective. It enables us to trust him with joy during our seasons of suffering. Yeah, I'm going through some stuff, but I got his grace. I'm going through some changes, but I know God is with me. He promised never to leave me nor forsake me. I'm holding on to God's unchanging hand, as the old folk used to say. I know I got God's grace in my life. And then number four, the Christian life is sustained by dependence, not self-sufficiency. So every believer is going to carry a thorn in the flesh at some point or another. But we all have access to the unmerited favor, the grace of God. So let me ask you this morning, as we talk about the promises of his grace, will you surrender to his grace? Will you really surrender to his favor? Or will you try to be self-sufficient and you shake because you can't hold it up, you can't do it? Or will you surrender to God and give it to him and let him hold you and carry it? What will you do? Will you surrender to God's call of grace this morning? That's where I want to end this morning. Will you surrender to God's call of grace this morning? For some, you're already saved. You have a relationship with Jesus. And that call of grace may look like, listen, my marriage is in shambles and I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm tired of holding on, but will you accept his grace? His grace might look like, for somebody, listen, I'm looking for a job. That my bank account has gone low, and I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. But can you trust God in his grace, that he will supply your every need according to his riches and glory? For somebody today, maybe it looks like this, that you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you don't know Jesus, as we say, in the pardon of your sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. So what is salvation really all about? It's about really receiving the grace of God. For we are saved by, where the Bible reads in the house today, through faith. It's grace. So if you're here today and you have yet to put your faith in Jesus Christ, he wants you to do that today. How do you do it? You recognize that you are a sinner who needs a saving relationship with Jesus. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We confess. We come into agreement with God about our sins. We don't sugarcoat them. It's sin. It's missing the mark. We don't call it, it's just a situation. No, it's sin. We confess, we come into agreement with God. Then we repent of our sins. We turn from sin and we turn to God. Then we ask Jesus to save us by his grace, by his unmerited favor. And after that, we turn over the rule of our lives to Jesus, letting him become the Lord of our lives. So if you're here today, and maybe you're believing for the first time, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Maybe you're believing this for the first time. We invite you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Our ushers are standing in the aisles. Their hands are extended. You can get up from where you are, follow them across the hallway to room number one. They'll gather information. We'll welcome you with open arms. Maybe you're here today and listen, you have a relationship with Jesus, but you're not connected to some local church where you can worship with other believers. Pray with other believers, praise with other believers, fellowship with other believers. Living Faith Community Church is a great place to be. It's a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. Not a perfect church, but we serve a perfect God. We invite you to come right now. Hands are extended in this moment. Won't you come right now? The ushers' hands are extended. Don't wait. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow's not promised. Won't you come right now? Won't you come? Will there be one?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.